Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on into the program. So I asked everyone last night, if you could, to go home and at least read up on, if you can't watch it on Netflix, read up on the new hit documentary starring Will Ferrell and Harper Steele. It is called Will and Harper. And they have been friends 30 years. Harper was Andrew. And then at the age of 61, and I know if you've got the trailer, Sam, can we just play the very beginning where Will Ferrell reads the email that he received from his longtime friend, quote, Andrew.
Hi there. I'm Will Ferrell, one of the greatest actors in the world. A long time ago, back when I was at Saturday Night Live, I met a guy who was hired as a writer the same week I was hired. He wrote a bunch of sketches for me and eventually became the head writer of SNL. And over the years, he became one of my closest friends. And then one day, I got this email. Hey, Will, something I need you to know. I'll be transitioning to live as a woman.
I don't doubt that Will is my friend, but I'm not Andrew Steele anymore.
It was just, whoa.
I love this country so much, I just don't know if it loves me back right now.
Harper, would you want to do a road trip as this new version of yourself and at the same time figure out what this all means?
It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. If you have never really known anyone who has transitioned, I urge you to watch this film because Harper is 61 years old and talks about living a life that, as Andrew, he did not want, did not understand. And in fact, I made notes when I watched this documentary. He said, my dead name is Andrew. My dead name is Andrew. And we are thrilled to welcome in our guest this hour, Jennifer Marie, and push that little red button right there. Sam did it for you, Jennifer. Yep, fabulous. Right. I can see you and hear you now.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I reached out to a mutual friend of ours and said, I cannot wait to talk about this documentary because I think, you know, Harper is an older woman and you are not.
I'm not quite that old. I'm 39.
And so explain to me, when you watched this, how did that documentary unfold before your eyes?
It was amazing to watch as a trans woman, as you watch this. First, the thing that really stuck out with me was how when you come out, you don't know what to expect with friends or family or any of it. And the way that they start this documentary, it is about, Will says, okay, where do we go from here?
What do we do? Because you could see Will Ferrell, you know, Saturday Night Live icon, probably is surrounded by gay, straight, trans, bi people all the time. But this is his friend of 30 years. You can see Will Ferrell struggling when they first meet and they hug with like, what do I say? What he's stammering at one point when Harper asks him, like, is this hard for you? And you can tell he doesn't even know how to answer that.
Absolutely.
Was that your experience?
Absolutely. But yes, but you can also see that they don't either. Both parties have to come together and understand that there's going to be some grace given on both sides for this relationship to work. It's not really as different as people think it is with a friend. You know, we're still the same people.
So how did this unfold for you? Like, take me back to your childhood, and when did you first know that you did not feel right in your body?
When I was 4 years old, I was going through grandma's stuff. I was opening drawers and all of this stuff at grandma's house, and I found a pink robe and nightgown, and immediately I put it on, and I knew this was powerful for me and something that I needed to do. And I continued to do this hundreds of times over the years.
To dress in
women's clothes hundreds of times in secret.
But hide it
from everybody. Because, gosh, would you want anybody to know this? I was scared for anybody to know what was going on with me. I really started to hide it even more so, because after I tried on that pink robe and nightgown, I tried it on every single time I went. My family saw me, you know, thought it was funny for a while. And then at some point they said, it's not funny anymore. And I remember my heart being crushed, because I felt like I really can't share what's going on really inside me.
How old were you when you finally did? When you finally shared it with family and with friends, how old were you?
I was 37 years old when I told my parents that I was trans questioning. I was married and I really wanted some family support, because I could see some things going wrong in my marriage.
Were they surprised, or they're like, we've known this?
It's a great question. It was a both. I mean, they said, we were surprised. Okay. Like we're not shocked because of how much you like to dress. It was obvious. I mean, I dressed for Halloween every single chance I could get.
Yeah.
And when opportunities came up at school or whatever it was. But yeah, they said, we're not that shocked, but like, and we're going to love you no matter what. And that's what I remember from my childhood, as my parents said, if you tell us you're gay, we're always going to love you.
Did you know? Did you think, am I gay? There had to have been, especially in your youth, like, what is this?
Absolutely. I mean, I was wondering if I was gay, because everybody in school was telling me this. Like, I mean, I was the kid that was quiet and just was the awkward kid in some ways. I wasn't like the guys were. I wasn't real masculine. And people said, you're gay. And I said, I know I'm not gay, but I really never knew what that meant until my last couple of years.
So this is still, I don't want to say controversial. I don't think it's controversial. I personally know 5 or 6 families who have gone through this. That's personally in Kansas City, and not people that I know, someone who knows someone who knows them on Facebook. People I know have had this happen in their families, with children as young as 9 and as old as 22, 23. And even my children will say they have gone to school with people who have transitioned. I think it's not as big of a deal for the younger kids who see this as it is for the adults who tend to make this a really big thing about the bathrooms and all of that.
Yeah.
Do you feel, I don't want to say safer, but was it somehow, do you think, easier for you in your 30s than it maybe would have been in your teens or your 20s?
Yes, but even more so, it's more about being the times now. Like, you're talking about how we're talking about there's a lot of people who are very, very accepting now. And it was daunting and terrifying. I remember when I was a kid watching all this, and I didn't even think about the word transgender. I mean, that was farthest from my mind until honestly a couple years ago. And I remember looking at trans people and thinking, wow, they're confused. Like, this is a hard thing they're dealing with, and I'm glad that's not me.
But it was you.
It was me.
So were you denying it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was in so much denial for my entire life. I just made it be about clothes.
What is your message to the people who say, there's no way someone knows at age 4 or age 9 that they are not what they are, that what their birth certificate says? There's all this stuff out there about what your birth certificate say.
Well, when you were age 4, how did you know that you were a boy or that you were a girl? Like, it's about that feeling you have inside, and most people have that specific feeling and that they know that. I buried it so deep,
yeah,
that I couldn't even allow myself to say that I'm one of the odd ones.
Was there a moment where you decided, this is it? Like, I have to just live my life as Jennifer, and I'm doing this?
Yeah. The biggest things that were changing for me were my health. I got shingles and kidney stones, stress induced, all of it.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't allow myself to be me. I was needing to change my life.
So in Will and Harper, she sends an email. How did you gather everyone around a table? Did you text, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to do this." Like, did you do this individually? How does that conversation go?
Great question. So I did this my way, and I'm not going to say that everybody does this the same way by any means, because everybody's journey is different. That's what I make sure that we make sure everybody understands. But when I decided that I was going to come out, I realized that I'm going to take some time and I'm going to do this the best I can with my kids, with my job and everything. And so I put together this plan and I was going to come out to people slowly. I came out to 100 people in person, one-on-one conversation before I came out. And then last October 5th, I came out in a Rotary Club meeting in front of 100 business people and received a standing ovation.
100 people.
100 people.
You stood up and just owned it.
I did. I was in guy mode and that was my last day in that mode. And, I was actually honestly really confident because I was ready to be me.
Do you call your former name your dead name? And does that former name bother you?
The name can bother me. First we'll go there. If my kids ever say that, just cause they're still trying to understand all of it. Like, in, they don't really understand how big that is. I'm one of the few people that I will never call it a dead name because my family's been so supportive that I call it my former name.
Your former name. Okay, I know our audience has questions, and we are going to take them on the text line at 913-586-7798. The documentary on Netflix is Will and Harper. Our guest is Jennifer Marie. We have so many things to talk about this hour, and I'm super excited to break all of this stuff down. And I don't want it to be awkward. Like, if I have a question, I'm going to ask. And if you are not comfortable answering it, you just say, "I don't want to answer that, but I will say this." Because it's about understanding, and that's what we're going to do today. 913-586-7798. You can text your questions there. You are listening to Dana and Parks. So if you're wondering, the documentary Will and Harper's name, and there's this scene, they're on a road trip. So it's Will Ferrell and Harper in this car the entire time. And it's funny, it's poignant, it'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh. He was like, "Where did Harper come from?" And if memory serves, watched this a couple nights ago, her mom was either friends with or knew Harper Lee. And she just said, "I knew when I started saying it out loud, Harper was my name." Our guest today is Jennifer Marie. You went from an introvert to an author, public speaker, and coach for families. How did you find Jennifer? Did you just always know that was your name?
No, I never really thought about what my name would be because I didn't really think about that. I was burying it deep, and I didn't think about this being a transgender person, right? And when it came to coming up a name, it took me 2 seconds to realize what it was. It was Jennifer, because Jennifer was one of the names my sister would call me growing up when we played dress up or when I did something girly.
Was your sister supportive? Is she supportive?
She was the first person I told about 3 years ago, and she was immediately supportive. And yeah, we've grown closer than we ever have. Because of being my authentic self.
One of the lines in the movie, Harper is talking about reaching out to her sister, and her reply, he was so fearful, and she was so fearful about saying the wrong thing, and we're going to come back to that. Her reply was immediate, and it was good. I've always wanted a sister.
And I love that she said that I wanted it to be immediate because I wanted there to be no question that I was great, that I was okay with, that I was
okay.
I was
going to
be supportive
replied.
Of this.
Immediately.
She immediately replied, and I love that. My sister was the same way. It was, first was like, "Thank you for sharing with me, and I love you, and I'm here for you."
Jennifer, the name of your book is Ask Me Anything, And there's a caveat to that. And you said this question should never be asked of a trans person unless they have told you you can ask anything. You, Jennifer, have said, and it's a chapter in your book, ask me anything. Other people might be in a different part of their journey. So please don't go up to someone at a Starbucks and be like, hey, can I ask you a bunch of questions about your personal journey?
And especially about their parts. People want to ask trans people about what's in their pants, and they don't ask you what's in their pants, so please don't ask them there.
Right. I have a friend who has a daughter and lost a lot of friends in the religious community, actually. Lost a lot of friends over their daughter's transition. And she's always said, people are so obsessed with the bathroom thing. And if you would not ask someone about their bathroom habits under a normal, any other circumstance, why would you ask a trans person about their bathroom habits? But your chapter is ask me anything. And you know, that's one of the first things people will ask.
And I talk about it in the book. I mean, I want to point out that people think that we want to be in the women's bathroom. To be honest, I don't really ever want to go in there. There are plenty of times that if I don't have to go to the restroom that badly, I will hold it. And there are trans women who get a UTI because they're trying to avoid that bathroom. So whenever I see a business that has a gender neutral bathroom, I raise my hands up and I'm just excited about it, because it makes it that much easier for us. We're worried that you're going to see something mean or worse can happen to us in the bathroom.
Have you had it happen?
I've been very lucky that I've not had anything ever happen. I get some glares, but especially when I started off early in my transition, but I've never had a real negative response.
But you physically present, you look like a beautiful blonde woman.
Thank you. You're tall.
You are a beautiful blonde woman. One of the things I asked you off the air is that in Will and Harper, Harper is older. Harper is not necessarily an incredibly feminine woman yet. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that she does not present in a passing fashion that she gets identified easily. Absolutely.
And they address this because there's one part in that documentary they go into, it's a dive bar, and she wants to go in alone. And you can see Will Ferrell in one of the few moments he's being absolutely serious. He said, I don't know that I want you to go in there. And she said, I have to do this. I have to get to the point where I feel comfortable going into places that, as my former self, I used to go into these bars. I used to go to stock car races. I used to go places where they were flying the Confederate flag. That was who I was. It's still who I am. But she has the buffer that is Will Ferrell, because he ends up walking in. And she even says it's kind of cheating. Did you feel that way? Because I'm going to be honest, I did. Not cheating, but would you feel as safe doing that without Will Ferrell there? No.
No, but even more so, like, she's got cameras with her. People are there's big cameras watching her. And I was just shocked still the number of people that still like just glared at her and almost like, I want to hurt you kind of fashion.
That's what my partner said when we watched this. That there's cameras, like if there's not a camera right with her inside, there's one outside. And that is sort of a buffer in and of itself, where what maybe would be awful or happen otherwise, because there's a camera there and ... Will Ferrell walks in. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you're friends with Will Ferrell. And so I love the documentary, but I also worry, would the outcome have been different? Would that journey have been different if you don't have Will Ferrell with you? And I think, of course, the answer is yes.
Absolutely. But that's one thing why they did this together was because this made it easier for her to go back to those places. She wanted to meet just a little bit easier because she still plans to go back more and more to those places that she always wanted to be.
Would it be easier if you were on the East Coast or the West Coast, or have you had such a positive experience in Kansas City that this is home and here we are?
Absolutely. I mean, I know people in New York and nobody bats an eye, no matter how you look in New York.
Probably, like I would say for the last 100 years, that's how New York's been.
Absolutely.
whatever goes, like, right, walking down the street. But you would have an easier time there. Did you think about moving, or has the support been good enough here for you with your family and your friends that you didn't have to go down that road?
I can't go down that road because I have kids here. And
yep.
And yeah, the first thing you think about, we think about all the hate here, especially living in these red states we live in. You think about how, oh my gosh, am I really doing this here in Kansas City? But I couldn't even think, I can't think about going anywhere else, no matter what legislation happens here. This is home. I love Kansas City. I've I'm a Kansas City girl through and through, and I have kids here, and I'm not leaving them.
Okay, you say in the last chapter of your book, ask me anything. And so if you have questions, text them in, 913-586-7798. As we continue discussing not only the documentary, but Jennifer, your life here, your support system here, I appreciate you willing to come on and talk about something that's very personal to you, but I think it's very important to talk about. We'll be back straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Our guest is Jennifer Marie, author, public speaker, coach to families. And I want to talk about that. Your children are preteen.
They are.
And how did that work when you set them down with or without your spouse? I'll let you tell that story. And how do you describe that and then now help other families who are going through this?
Absolutely. So I told my kids... Oh, about a year and a half ago, with my ex present, with a counselor,
yeah,
that read a book called one was called Red, which is not really a book that is for trans. It's kind of more about like it's about a crayon that has a blue label, but it always it's really red on the inside.
Got it? Just, yeah,
and. And then she had a book called, the counselor had a book called She's My Dad, and we read that, and we got to the end of reading that She's My Dad book, and my son started putting it together, and he goes, well, she has, has longer nails and does these similar things that, are you the book?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I'm like the girl in the book.
Yeah.
I'm changing my outside to match my inside.
And so when you coach other families, it could be families who have a teenager going through these feelings. It could be an adult and you sit down with them and say, because all families are messy. Okay. Let's throw the white picket fence out of the window. All families have stuff. And this is just your story. And every family has a story. I told you, I know five families that went through this in Johnson County.
Yeah. And everyone has a different reaction. Everyone should be given grace to come along and understand. Even my son, who said, you're like the girl in the book, he didn't like that. He's like, I don't like it. I want to know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't want you to change. I need to know who you are. I said, you will always know who I am and how much I love you. And that our relationship, whenever we're going to do fun things.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's really going to change except for my outside. And it's been a rocky road. My daughter was really excited, honestly, from the beginning when I told her she was all gung-ho about how you want, oh, great. You know, and now I have like another mom or whatever. And I've never told my kids what to call me.
I was going to ask you, is it mom? Is it what?
I've made it very clear that no matter what my ex wants to tell them to call me. And I said, I will not tell her what to call me either. You decide. And it fluctuates back and forth. And that's okay. I do ask, because of safety reasons, that when we go out in public, cause I pass pretty well now, except for being the tall girl. I say, please don't call me dad in public. You know, you can call me Jen or Jennifer, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I'm not telling you to call me mom necessarily, but please just don't draw attention to us.
Okay. So
and that's a challenge. Yeah. That's a back and forth kind of thing.
Let's talk about the pronouns because I think people are uncomfortable with saying the wrong thing. So, and even a couple of times I slipped when I was talking about Harper and reverted back to his dead name, Andrew. And I thought, nope, she's Harper. So, and I feel like I'm pretty, you know, accepting and laid back and all of those things. People struggle with this, and because they don't want to say the wrong thing.
And it's a really hard thing. I mean, it's really complicated, especially when you've known somebody for so long that to change that pronoun. I mean, I have people look at me that I've known for well, and I'm very feminine presenting for anyone who's on the radio. And I'm very feminine presenting, and people still say he or my former name sometimes, and that's okay. Like, because they're showing that they really want to be better. And so most of the time, people apologize. I tell people, as long as you apologize or show you're trying in some way.
Yeah.
That's all we ask is that we want you just to try and not just regard that what we have our pronouns.
There's a scene in the documentary where they're out having some beers. I don't even remember where they are. And Will Ferrell introduces, "This is my friend Harper." And one of the guys, Sam, goes, "Hey, bro." And Will Ferrell goes, "But not a bro." There are funny, very funny, poignant moments in the film. I'm sure you've had this happen. And then you hear the guy go, "Oh, sorry, sorry. And I'm sure that's, does it, when somebody says sir or what, do you bristle at that? I'm guessing you do. And then what, how do you handle that? You say, ma'am, Jennifer?
Just like she said in the movie, yeah. You know, like you say, ma'am, like it's mostly happens to me on the phone, typically. I mean, especially because I have feminized my voice. That's one thing I've worked on doing through vocal exercises.
Yeah.
But I used to get a lot of just misgendering on there, and sometimes I would correct just say ma'am, you know, and just a correction. But yes, you do kind of bristle. It is a natural response.
Or just call me Jennifer.
Or just call me Jennifer, you know. And honestly, for anybody who wants to just be easy and you don't like pronouns or whatever, just call them that person's name that they want to be called, that they go by.
I forgot. I made notes. There's a scene in the diner that she says she takes Will Ferrell's order, and then she says, "How about you, sir?"
Yeah.
And he corrects her nicely, or Will Ferrell corrects her nicely, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he says, "That's okay." She says, "I just did it."
But that's okay.
I just did it.
But you're trying, and that's why it's okay. But yeah, what she says is she says, "Ma'am," and then she says, "Ma'am," and then she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry," you know, and that's all that's needed. She points out, Harper points out in the movie, like right then she says that, "I don't really like being misgendered, but what am I going to do?" And really, this person's really changing and trying. So I don't understand how ever she really could be really that offended,
yeah,
because people are trying. And it's really hard, especially when you don't have that very specific presentation that people just know exactly which presentation you are.
There's a scene in the car and she says, "Ask me anything. You are my friend. You can ask me anything." She says, "I invite these questions." And there's a pause and Will Ferrell goes, "What's it like to have boobs?"
I loved it.
And I'm sure you get that question. What was that like for you?
Absolutely. And I actually talked about it today on my Instagram Live. I was talking about how, I mean, I grew natural B cups in 2 years, less than 2 years. And I thought always, as I think, maybe I say men think about sometimes or not, I don't know. But I know I had these thoughts that like, oh, it'd be really fun to have boobs kind of thing when I was growing up. I had this thought, or, you know, think kind of a fun, funny or whatever thing.
Yeah.
But really now I just have this, you look down and you're like, you feel confident and affirmed, but really it's just flesh and it's just fat, but I still love it. It's not a magical thing like I ever thought it really would be.
But it also takes us back to the conversation, Jennifer, that like no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, because this has happened to me too, but no one would go up to anyone and be like, "Hey, let's talk about your cup size." But people, for whatever reason, we in America are, specifically in America, drawn to the sexual. And I would say I breastfed 4 kids. Let me tell you, those were not sexual things for years. But in America, they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we are. And honestly, there are trans women who have people in their lives that say, "Can I touch them?"
Oh, my my gosh.
And I have never had that happen. I mean,
no.
That sounds really awkward. I don't ask that your part, so don't ask that mine.
Please,
but
can we not do that? So for anyone listening who has questions, how, like, I don't want to say where can they find you. We're not going to do that. But where can they find the book? Because I think the book will answer a lot of the questions.
So my book is on Amazon. It was a number one bestseller for over a week.
Ask me anything.
And was the number one bestseller on all of LGBT biographies and memoirs for a whole day, even beating out like Elliot Page and all of it. It's been really, really great on there. The easiest way to find my book is go to my website, jenspire.com. That's JennSpire.
Like Jenspire, like inspire.
Like inspire. I'm trying to inspire people, you know, all types of people on their journey or people just understanding. And the easiest way to find it, I have a link, I have a page within my website that tells all the places you can find it. I'm getting close to the point where I've already recorded my audiobook, and the audiobook is coming here very soon. I think the
last thing I want people to know is, like, it drives me crazy when I hear somebody say, well, they're just shoving this down our throats, or they're trying to make my child gay. You have your own stuff going on. You're not trying to convert anybody. No. And I do feel like if you're trans, you know that deep down inside. And if you're not, you're not. Like, I was born with girl parts. I feel very much feminine. But I do think sexuality is a spectrum for everybody. I've always firmly believed that. You're not trying to change who anybody else.
No, not at all. We just want people to understand, or at least even more so, just be kind. That's all. And honestly, well, most people are, but just lead with kindness and you can never go wrong.
Lead with kindness and you can never go wrong. JennSpire.com. Jennifer Marie, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
The documentary is Will and Harper. It is on Netflix. Please check it out. We are back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Park. Stick with us. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Apparently, people got angry yesterday that we were giving the score. I will tell you, we are generally in the bottom of the first. Yeah, I can say that, right?
That borders on too much information.
What about we're not doing bad? Can I say that?
Well, here, we can say this. All right.
That's all we're going to say.
That's it.
Ding,
that's
ding. It. Okay, and if something changes, you might hear another sound effect, and it won't be that one.
For now, we're sticking with the ding, ding.
So something funny happened during our interview with Jennifer. I think we can address it, sort of address it.
Okay.
I prefer the word partner to any other word describing someone significant to me.
Sure.
So I just prefer that word.
Right.
I don't like the word at age 50, boyfriend or girlfriend. I never have. I don't know why.
Right.
A lot of people were asking on the text line, is Dana coming out?
No. That was not the question. The question was, did Dana just come out?
Did Dana just come out?
Yeah.
I did not. And I assure you, if I were going to do that, I would not have just like casually dropped that.
It wouldn't have been an under the wire comment.
Under the wire comment, like Scott's not here. Like we just would have had the conversation. I've always said sexuality is a spectrum. I just prefer that term. That's all that is. Do not read anything into that.
It goes back to when you said Jack and his partner, and everybody thought Jack.
I said Jack and his longtime partner.
You did.
Who happens to be a woman. I just prefer the word
partner.
Partner. And my dad texted. He's like, my phone just blew up. Is Jack gay? And I go, no, he's not gay. Why can the word partner not mean just partner?
Because of the common vernacular for a millennia. Well,
my person? What about my person? Can I say my person? Speaking of, we have to talk about Mr. Amos, who passed away yesterday at the age of 84. Veteran actor John Amos. Good times, Roots.
Former Chiefs player?
Yeah, he was
in a short time.
All the things. I grew up watching him on Good Times. Did you notice that when we read the family statement yesterday, and I'm going to give you this, I thought the same thing. The statement was from his son that said, it is with profound sadness and distress that we share our father's transition, was the word that his son used.
Yeah, they didn't say that he died or that he passed on to his next life or, I don't know, any other of the 700 ways that you can say that someone
died. They did use
the
word with John Amos that he transitioned.
Yeah.
John Amos is not trans. John Amos passed away.
That is correct.
Peacefully surrounded by family. You know, I think sometimes we just read too much into these words, Sam. Words, they get us in trouble, these words.
Why do we have to be creative with it?
The words get us in trouble.
Cross the rainbow bridge?
Right? The words. Like winning. I mean, that would be a word.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Go to KMBZ.com. Sign up for Cornhole coming up on October 19th.
We'll talk about that.
Tossing for tails.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Cornhole. And we have an update from our friends down south. Odyssey, our parent corporation, is doing something to try to raise money to help all of the people devastated by Hurricane Helene. That is straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.